And back on In Focus, News Radio KMAN, talking with our city officials today, and we have a phone call, so we'll go to the lines. Good morning, you're on In Focus.
Yes, we've had this conversation before about the fees that you charge on hooking up, disconnecting the water service in a renter's or a new homeowner's name. And your $3.5 million, if you divide it out, it would come to about 4 years of your fees for the water service when you don't unhook the meter, don't hook the meter back up or do anything, just change the name on the bill. So it'll be all right. Don't worry about it. You got it covered. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for the call. We're continuing on here on In Focus with the we're going over the consent agenda item here for tonight. Again, if you do have a question or a concern, you can certainly give us a call here at 537-1350. We left off at item E, so you have some bids and awards as well.
Yeah, we do, and we also have we have some lots up in the Lee Mill Village area. So this is the South Reith Avenue area of the community up on Miller Parkway and Reith Avenue. That particular area. That's an area that originally was developed for some townhomes, and only a few of the townhomes were built. Sat vacant for a long time, defaulted on their taxes, and so the city bid at the tax sale and purchased the property and have been working to resell a lot of that property. We did work with some developers and worked with the housing trust group that developed some low-income senior housing duplexes on a good portion of the tracks, but there's some remnant tracks that exist. And so we've got three of those lots that are up for sale and are recommending award of those three lots. One is for $27,000 and the other two are for $29,000 each. So looking forward, I think that'll leave probably about a half a dozen additional lots that still remain to be sold. So looking at getting that land and back on the property tax rolls and being productive. We also, as you indicated, we've got some projects to award. We've got some waterline improvement projects, and we bid a bunch of these together just so we could have a better bid package and some interest. That's a challenge that we see, too, because a lot of contractors are busy and some trying to hire people as well. So, matter of fact, we've had some bids, some smaller ones, where we haven't had any bidders. So we've started to do some combining of projects to make them look a little more inviting. We're recommending award of a contract to J&K Contracting out of Junction City for $461,000. There's four different locations of some of these waterline improvements, 17th in Houston, Delaware in Colorado, 15th in Yuma, and then on Dunbar Road. So looking forward to getting some of those, and these are mostly some maintenance valves and some older waterline replacements and upgrades. And then another awarded project, this little bigger one out on Plymouth Road and Little Kitten Avenue, some street and stormwater improvements, a lot of stormwater overhaul there. The engineer's estimate was just under $1.6 million. Low bid was submitted by Buyer Construction for $1.5 million. About $838,000 of that is for pavement work and will be done out of the Special Street Maintenance Fund. And about $667,000 will be out of the Stormwater Fund with a 10-year bond anticipated to be issued for that. And then I mentioned previously in Aggieville, we've got a one-block section between Fremont and Laramie Street where we've are going to bury the overhead power lines there and utility lines to give more space and clean that up a little bit. We're not doing that everywhere, but we are planning to do that. So there's a payment to Evergy for about $75,000 and a payment to Larson Construction, who's actually going to do the work, for about $91,000.
All right, quite a bit of stuff there, and maybe getting a phone call here? Yes, we are. Okay, so let's go back to the phone lines. You're on In Focus. Go ahead.
Hi. I'm wondering who's responsible for paving College Heights Road between MLK Drive and Sunset.
College Heights between MLK and Sunset. So, College Heights would be ours between Denison and Sunset.
So who's responsible from Sunset up to the university, MLK Drive?
So the university would be responsible from the Denison intersection east, that's part of campus, and the city's responsible for the section to the west. Actually, that's a project that is on our plate this year. We need to replace and upgrade the water line, which runs down the middle of the street. And we knew that waterline project is something that was going to occur over the years, and so we haven't done a lot of work on that pavement, and I would agree it's in very poor condition. So the water line will be replaced, and then the street will be reconstructed as part of that project as well.
Wonderful. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for the call.
Absolutely.
That's one of the things that people need to understand is that the Public Works Department has got a rating of all of the pavement on every street in Manhattan. And if you think that your street is bad and needs to be replaced, you can call the Public Works Department and they can tell you where you are, whether you're 25th out of 3,000 or 797 out of 3,000 to give you an idea of how bad your road is compared to everybody else's road. And so we're working through the list trying to get the most damaged, most in need of repair streets taken care of as we can. But there's a lot of streets in Manhattan, and a lot of them with the changes in weather. This hot, cold is bad for people, it's bad for animals, and it's really bad for roads. And so that's the kind of thing that just tears up our roads over time. But if your road is really bad, we're going to get to it because there's a rating system. And when yours becomes the priority, it'll get fixed. It's just a matter of there's a lot of them probably in front of you.
Yeah, and the other element of that is the utilities. And so, we've got so much money budgeted each year to do utility repair and upgrade work as part of that process. And so that's this project is an example where we need to replace the water line. We want to be able to do that together. So obviously we don't want to do an overlay on a street, and then 2 years later come rip it up to replace the water line. So we're trying to do those tandem planning projects just to the west of there, west of Sunset. As an example, we did some water line work in those areas and some fire hydrant replacements, and we did an overlay for about five blocks after that. So those are the kind of things we try to piece together and try to also get them in an area where a contractor can mobilize to and not have to go to several different places, although I just kind of went against that because we're having to put those smaller ones together even though they may not be near each other. But so that's just some of the process that goes into that. And Mark mentioned that conditions index, pavement conditions index, and we are scheduled to update the commission this spring on an annual report of our. We just had the pavement condition analysis done last year by a contractor, so we've updated all of that, and then just some of the plans for that 2/10 sales tax that the residents passed to focus on improving some of these streets, and we've been focusing on residential and other areas, and not the primes with that 2/10 funding.
You know, one area that I've noticed the pavement's a little rough at. It's not a road per se, but it's the Sunset Cemetery, and I don't know who would be in charge of fixing that up if it could. Is that a city thing or is that?
Oh yeah, no, that's ours. It's our cemetery division, and they typically try to work with the. Most of them are gravel roads. We do have a few paved roads in the cemetery, and I'm sure that's started to erode. But they'll typically try to work with the street department to do most of those in-house if we can when they have time, and that's been the challenge with not having full crews and being able to try and get those scheduled. So I'll visit with Mike Moeller, our cemetery sexton, though. I'm sure he's been visiting with other folks about what those needs are.
All right. And I know in the same area there, there's been discussion about a potential maybe improvements to the intersection there at Sunset and Points, especially with the high school expanding there. do you see that being a need here in the next year or so, if having a signal there potentially?
I don't know. I haven't heard that one. Oh. That one hasn't made it to a staff meeting anyway about that aspect of things. That one's a little bit tricky. You know, it's one of those intersections where certain times of the day it's real busy, but other times it's not. So whether or not that signal's warranted there or not, we've recently done pavement improvements there with that. And but certainly I know a lot of the focus is trying to shift. The school district just announced at the intergovernmental that they'd purchased the additional residential properties over on Oak Street on the south side of the high school, which we've been allowing the high school to use the zoo parking lot. Usually that doesn't have a lot of high demand, especially in the wintertime. And in turn, for special events, the high school lets us use their parking lots for parking. So those are some good aspects of that. But I haven't heard about the potential signalization of that intersection.
That intersection is obviously kind of wonky. It's kind of steep going up north on Sunset, and the sight distance isn't great looking back to the east. And so, yeah, it's going to be a big project if they decide to try to make that somehow a flatter intersection or wider. And so I don't think anybody's too anxious to do anything about that. But if it gets to a point where the accident index or so, if it starts being a problem with people getting hurt on that intersection, it'll move up the priority list. But it's weird, and it's probably why it's never been taken on before. But it will be one of those things. If the high school continues to increase their traffic up there, it may show up on our radar. Hmm.
And that'll be something that I know the high school, you have more drop-off with the ninth graders and them moving up to that campus. And so some of that, as I said, certain times of the day, that gets to be a little more challenging than at other times.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I can't remember where we heard that from. I heard someone mention it last week, I thought, or maybe a couple weeks ago, but interesting. Well, about out of time here on In Focus. Again, remind people that the meeting is at 7 o'clock tonight at City Hall. It is open to the public, and you can also, if you don't want to go out, you can watch it online, cityofmhk.com/TV or Cox Cable Channel 3 for those of you who have cable. Ron, good to talk to you. Mark, good to talk to you as well.
Thank you, Brandon.
Thanks for having us, Brandon.
That's going to wrap us up here for this Tuesday morning. Coming up tomorrow on the program, we'll get an update from several different departments. We've got USD 383, Marvin Wade and Kristen Brighton going to join us. We'll also hear from the Manhattan Fire Department, as well as Downtown Manhattan and Gina Snyder.